It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick. It is great to be back. We at Live the Life Ministries are a ministry here in Northeast Florida, South Georgia, to strengthen marriages and families. At Real Talk with Dr. Rick, we will engage in real talk regarding real issues that direct your life towards finding real solutions. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to contact us at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. Today, we're going to have a conversation at Real Talk around the issue of trust. You notice there's a lot of mistrust in our culture today. Political parties don't trust each other. Race groups don't trust each other. Spouses don't trust each other. Kids do not trust their parents. Mistrust and a lack of trust is pervasive in society. Trust is the foundation of all healthy relationships, particularly marriages and families. Nations cannot survive well when they do not trust their government, and the government does not trust the people. And sadly, there is a mistrust in the body of Christ, even across denominations. And when trust is not present, there's going to be a breakdown in intimacy. Thus, there will also be a breakdown in understanding, a breakdown in connection. And all of that lack of trust and mistrust creates division. And where there is division, you will find the enemy, because Satan loves division. And where God loves unity, a house divided will not stand. A nation divided against itself will not stand. Yet Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Psalm 84, 12 says, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And sadly today, because of the breakdown of marriage and family and the things that are happening in the body of Christ, it tells the culture that what we say and do, we don't believe ourselves, because when we don't live it out, then really, folks, what's happened is even the body of Christ isn't trusted by culture because of the brokenness they see in us and then our defensiveness around it. But blessed is the one who does trust in the Lord. In Proverbs 12:22, says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. As I was preparing for today's message, I kind of wrote this out to read to you. Listen to this. And it's referring to myself, by the way. This is really about me writing about myself to you, so you can get a sense of the guy who's kind of talking to you now around the issue of trust. Listen to this. I wrote, my life was one in which I learned not to trust folks. I didn't trust folks to stay. I came from a divorced home. I learned that people will leave you and forsake you. I also learned that from my relationships by working in churches. And what is most sad is I learned not to trust people with your heart. People will hurt you and stomp on your heart, or they will manipulate you in order to take from you what they want. I learned that people of poor character should not be trusted. I also learned that just because you're a preacher or a pastor, your character is more important in whether you are trusted than in how well you preach. I learned that people who are consistently late can be trusted to be consistently late. I learned that people who like to take but rarely give are also difficult to trust. I have also learned that once trust is built and established, one choice can undermine it. However, if trust is firmly established as an evidence of one's character, people will more likely forgive and reestablish trust with you. I have also learned that people who are trustworthy are never bothered when their trustworthiness is being questioned. When you think about trusting God, what comes to mind to you? When you think about trusting other people, what kind of feelings does that evoke for you? Fear? A sense that I'll never trust again? What makes it difficult to trust a person? What makes it easier to trust a person? You see, trust is defined in the dictionary as a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. It is confidence placed in a person by making that person the owner of something in your life. And maybe the owner of what you trust, the owner of your heart. You place something in them and you trust them. It might be your goodwill. You see, it's the firm belief in that this person's reliable, that they're truthful, that they have the ability and the strength. And when you believe that someone is not reliable, that they're not being truthful, that they don't have the ability, or they don't have the strength that you need, or that they have to have in order to accomplish something, you're not going to trust them. And so what we want to do today is talk about what are some of the things you're going to need in life in order to trust another person. And I'm going to start with one of those things here. And I'm going to say that one of the things you have in order to be trusted by another is clarity. Clarity. I wrote here, people trust those who are clear, but they distrust the ambiguous. You see, if clarity reveals truth and truth sets you free, where there's not clarity, there's a lack of what is true, and then you're not sure what to trust. Example, clarity versus unclarity. Let's say Luell says to me, "Hey, where you been? You're 2 hours late." And I go, "I've been out." "Out where?" "I told you, I was just out." "I know, out where?" "With some friends." "What friends?" "Just friends." "Friends from what friends?" Can you hear that the lack of clarity? "Oh, I was out with Bob and we went down to the shooting range and spent some time shooting my new gun that I bought." Whatever. Got it? The clarity provides trust, but lack of clarity provides distrust. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 7:8. "Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant." Why is his covenant trustworthy? Because the covenant of God is clear. There's no ambiguity to it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, famous verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Why? You don't have to lean on your understanding. When God is clear about something, you don't have to seek your own understanding about it. He's clear. Don't do this. Do this. Nothing else you have to figure out. "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Jeremiah 7:8. "But look, you," listen to what he says here, "you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless." Sadly, today, people trust in people who aren't clear. They trust in people who lack integrity. They trust in people who, even though they see the lack of integrity, they see the lack of character, they trust them anyways. Some people would call that hero worship today. But you're not trusting in what is clear. That person sends mixed messages. If you keep sending mixed messages about what, when you say one thing and do another, you create a lack of trust in yourself just because of that. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision," that's a prophetic vision of God or God's word, "people perish." You see, Christian leadership books a lot of times use Proverbs 20:19, "Where there is no vision, people perish," as a rationale for a church writing a vision statement, all right? As a vision statement. That's why you see people want vision statements. You need a mission statement or a vision statement for your church. You need a vision statement or a mission statement for your life. I'm not here to argue for or against it. I am going to say that that passage, Proverbs 20:19, "Where there's no vision, people perish," has nothing to do with a vision statement or a mission statement. I wrote here, "While it is good for leaders to communicate vision, it is not talking about a leader's vision. Rather, vision here refers to a special revelation. And the principle is that apart from God's word, society quickly spins into moral chaos." In other words, the word prophetic vision refers to special revelation of God's word. The word they were to say, "people perish," is cast off restraint. And basically, when there is a lack of clarity about what is true, then people will cast off their restraints because there is no truth to guide them. Thus, that lack of clarity, we don't know what is true, then anything becomes true. If I want to believe and feel that I'm a cat, then it's true for me. Regardless of whether it's true that I'm a cat or not, in reality, is irrelevant. Because where there's a lack of clarity, is it male or female? Is it this or that? Is it that or this or this? Where there's a lack of clarity, there is no truth. And where there is no truth, truth then has to be discerned from one's feelings. And there's a lot of problems that I see in culture today. When we elevate a lower order part of the brain, that's an emotional brain. The emotional brain is a brain, part of the brain that doesn't think. It doesn't reason. It just feels. And sadly, if someone feels you're stupid, then based on political correctness, you have to be stupid. Why? Well, because it would be offensive for me to tell you that you're not stupid. If you want to believe you're stupid, then you must be. But rationally, logically, we can't talk about that. Why? Because it would be offensive and hurtful. So, folks, where there's not clarity, what do you trust? We don't know. You see, you can't know the truth until you're clear about what is true. You're clear about what is true. So clarity requires that we have healthy, mature communication skills. We are told to let our yes be yes and your no be no. If you say yes, but you really mean no, you're not being clear. You're either codependent or you're not able to stand up for yourself. But those are a poor boundary issue. That's a whole other conversation, you see. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? Because the word of God is very clear. You may not like what it says. You may not agree with what it says. That's not my point here right now. My point is, whether you agree or disagree, the scriptures is clear about what is right, wrong, moral, who the Savior is and who it is not. It's clear. Whether you want to believe that or not is up to you. But one thing for sure, you can't say it's not clear. It doesn't leave a lot of ambiguity there. Can you imagine if God's word was ambiguous? I mean, what would life be like if God was not clear about his expectations, right? The Ten Commandments are pretty clear. Christ died on the cross for our redemption is clear. Likewise, when we communicate in ways that leave people wondering, trying to guess what we meant or when or what you said doesn't match what you do, that lack of clarity leads the people to wonder about you. Thus, you have increased the ability to be distrusted. You're basically saying you can't trust me. Why? Because I don't want to be clear. I want to be ambiguous. Because we trust the clear and we distrust the ambiguous. You see, let's say you tell a 12-year-old child, or let me say, we'll make it a 5-year-old, 6-year-old child, clean the room. And they go about cleaning the room and they pick up a few toys, right? And they come back later and you scold them for not cleaning the room. Why? You weren't clear about what you meant by cleaning the room. In the mind of a 5, 6, or 7-year-old, cleaning the room means one thing. Cleaning the room to an adult means another. You didn't translate clearly what your expectations were. So in their mind, the room is clean. In your mind, it's not clean yet. You've got to create clarity so that everyone knows what the expectations are. And when that happens, trust increases. Let me ask you this. What expectations do you have for your marriage? What expectations do you have for your family? What expectations do you have for your personal life? What would it be like if you lived your life being very unclear, ambiguous in many areas of your life? What if your boss said to you, hey, I need you to go do this project. Well, how would you like it? Just do it. Yeah, I know, boss. What would you like me to do? Oh, whatever's okay. Whatever's okay? Yeah. And then you do whatever's okay, and they come back, well, that's not what I said. But you said whatever. That's not what I meant. You're not going to trust this guy that keeps doing those kind of things. Why? Because ambiguity increases distrust. And sadly, many of us live our lives making ourselves ambiguous. We create a sense of, I don't want to tell you the truth. I don't want to tell you how I'm feeling. I don't want to tell you how I'm thinking. And folks, listen, you need to hear this. In the absence of information, people's brain will fill in the blank. When you are not clear about who you are, what your expectations are, what you're thinking, what your motives are, whatever, when you are not clear, then other people will fill in the blanks because the brain is wired to fill in the blank. the best it can based on the information that it has. You see, so many of us, we create a lack of clarity. We create a lack of clarity because of the way we are, the way we communicate. We don't listen, or we start teaching rather than listening. Here's one thing I've learned. You can't really understand what a person thinks or feels unless you listen. You see, many of us like to talk. So if you're talking, there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, there's no listening and talking. Talking is only about me sharing what I already know. Where listening is really about you. You can only learn when you're listening. And here's what I've learned about in life, in my own growing and maturing in life. The more that I listen, the more that I learn. The more that I listen, the more that I learn, the more I understand. And in that understanding, I gain compassion. It's like, no wonder you do and say that. It actually sounds like this. Father, would you forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They don't get it. They don't see what's taking place right here. And Jesus is saying this over those who are murdering him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You see, trust requires clarity. So here are some tips to communicate clearly. Number one, listen. James 1. All right, James 1:9. Listen. We say in our world that listening is the higher order way of listening. That listening is a blessing because it shows love to others. Talking is about yourself. So when the scripture says that we're to be slow to anger, quick to hear, slow to speak, you understand the focus of that passage is not on talking. It's actually on listening. It's learning to close your mouth and open your ears and hear how it is for someone else, all right? So become a good listener. And when you start to listen to others, you begin to learn about them. You begin to learn why they think the way they think and why they feel the way they feel. And you begin to learn their perspective of life. You see, it's really important that we recognize that there are different perspectives to one event. The example, 9/11. We had our perspective of that event. And then if you were on the other side of the world, the Middle East, they had a very different perspective of that event. We thought it was terrible. Many of them thought it was great. Why? Our perspectives about the event were very different. And our perspectives come from our experiences. And yet what happens usually is one person wants to be right. Well, if you want to be right, that's fine. Go right ahead. But understand you can write yourself right out of a relationship. I'm going to say that again. You can write yourself right out of relationship. When you empathize, it's about listening and understanding why a person does what they do. Example, there is a three-letter word in my house that if you say it, it brings up emotional energy. One person positive, the other person negative. It's the word dog. It's the word dog. I want one really, really, really bad. And my wife does not want one really, really, really bad. Her and I both have different perspectives about dogs. Well, many years ago, we got into a tiff again about a dog because I really want one. She really does not want one. And I finally thought, okay, I need to shut up and just listen. And I began to hear her life around dogs. And you know what? Though I don't agree with her perspective, I moved to empathy and I went, no wonder you don't like dogs. It makes sense. And out of understanding why she doesn't like dogs or doesn't want a dog in the house, et cetera, I could have compassion for her. And I made a decision for the sake of us to not have a dog. You may think, well, you're giving up what you want. That's okay. I made the decision for us. You know, I want to honor where she's been and her experiences. So empathize. Avoid manipulation is number three. Avoid manipulating. Don't manipulate, because when you manipulate, you're not listening. And thus, you're actually going to create a lot of mistrust around you because you don't trust people who manipulate you. Number four, speak your truth in love. So many people think the value in that verse is on speaking the truth, but it isn't. The value in the verse is in how you speak your truth. You speak your truth in love. And remember, love has a tone to it. All right? Love has a tone to it. Or I like to say it this way. Your rightness does not justify your rudeness. I'm going to say that again. I like that. Your rightness does not justify your rudeness. You got to speak your truth. Declare who you are. I like to say, get a voice for yourself. Own your voice, but own your voice in a loving, respectful way. Remember the four words that I talked about in two sessions ago on Real Talk with Dr. Rick. We talk about the four words I live by: goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy, or IDIS. And the reality is, it's respectful. When you're respecting people, you'll have a tone. When you're disrespecting, you'll have a tone. And so love has a tone to it. So how will you know if someone's speaking their truth in love? Tone will tell you everything. Tone will. Another point in some tips in communicating clearly, don't speak with exaggerations. You always, you never. This always happens to me. This can never be. When you speak with exaggerations, you lose credibility. Because people can always come up with a situation that will undo your always and nevers. All right? It's just don't speak with exaggeration. Speak clearly about what is true. It seems to me that most of the time this happens. Well, you know, based on my experience, honey, this is what goes on. That's a lot more mature than always and nevers and musts and you have tos and you shoulds and shouldn'ts. All right? Don't speak with exaggerations, because when you do, people aren't going to listen to you. Well, they don't trust you because you're not speaking accurately and clearly. Number six, ask questions. Ask questions. If you want to be able to gain trust around communication and being clear, ask questions. You need to understand what that person is thinking. If you're not sure what they're saying, ask questions. Sometimes me asking questions allows me to become a student of that person, and as I begin to ask questions, they give me information. Information creates more clarity for me, so I have greater understanding as to why they think and feel and believe the way that they do. And by the way, let me say this for those who may be kind of struggling right now. I know you're sitting out there, you're going, okay, Rick, I hear you, but in the end, they're still wrong. Let me tell you something, or I may not agree with them. Let me say that understanding how something is for someone does not make it right. And number two, and most importantly, really, it doesn't mean you agree with them. Just because I understand how something is for you and because I understand why you are the way you are doesn't mean I agree with you. Understanding and caring is different than agreement. And lastly, mean what you say. Mean what you say. Don't be double-minded in your communication. Yes be yes, and your no be no's. Whenever you send a message that has a double meaning, like, well, do you mean yes or no? Yes. What? I said, do you mean yes or no? And you go, well, yes. Is it yes or no? Yes. You see, the reality is, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Be very clear. But when you speak and you're double-minded, people aren't going to trust you. Why? Because they don't know what you mean, but you also send a message that you don't know what you mean. Remember, folks, conflict is a part of life. It's a part of relationships. God the Father even had a conflict with his first two children, but he was really clear. You see that tree over there? You can eat of that tree. See that? Eat of that tree? See that tree over there? The day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you're going to die. It's pretty black and white. It's pretty clear about what's going to happen. Based on their choices. They didn't have to figure it out. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to ponder it. They didn't have to go, what does he really mean by that? You don't have to, you know what he meant. He tells you. I really respect people who tell you who they are with love and goodwill and respect. You don't have to think about who they are. You don't have to wonder who they are. You don't have to think about what they're thinking about. You don't have to wonder what they're thinking about. You don't have to try mind reading them. Why? They tell you who they are. They know who they are, and they tell you who they are. Whether you agree or disagree is irrelevant to them, because they understand to be a person of integrity, I have to be clear. I have to be clear. By the way, this extends even to the business world. If you are not real clear about the success of your product, if you are not real clear about what your product can or can't do, if you send a message that you're not even sure or this product might or could or possibly, people aren't going to do that. They're going to buy products they know can work until they learn that it does not. You see, you don't buy a car, hey, that's a really nice car. Does it get good gas mileage? Yeah, what's the gas mileage? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, but what is the gas mileage? Oh, it's better than 15. What's better than 15? You know, better than 15. Does it do 30? I've heard it's done 30 before. So is that a yes or a no? They ain't buying your car. They're not buying your car because your lack of clarity tells them they can't trust the car. And somehow we don't see this. Even in the body of Christ, when we deal with each other, we don't deal with each other forthrightly and matter-of-factly. Sometimes we do. It's not done in love. It's done in anger, and it's done in control or power. We're to speak our truth in love. In love. But that requires also that we're clear. People trust the clear. They will distrust the ambiguous. Every time we open our mouths, every time that you say something, you're either going to come across as clear or not clear. Speak your truth, get your voice, but speak your truth in love. Love has a tone to it. If you speak your truth in love and you're clear, you will gain people's trust. Why? They know who you are. I worked a long time ago for some bosses. One was mean, very disrespectful man behind the scenes. Great preacher, but very disrespectful man behind the scenes. But one thing I appreciate about him is you always knew where he stood because he told you. The other was always ambiguous. He did his dirty work through others. But the one, you always knew where you stood because he told you, whether you wanted to hear it or not, whether you liked it or not. That kind of person I can handle. Why? At least you know. You can trust what they say. You see, folks, if you want trust, you've got to be clear. This is why God can be trusted. He's very clear about who he is and who he's not. He's very clear about his expectations of us. He's very clear, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not I might not leave you, it's I will never. You know what? He doesn't. He loves us unconditionally. We'll say to someone, I love you unconditionally. Then when the conditions aren't the way they want, they walk away from you. You didn't mean what you said. Why? Because if you really did, you'd still be here. And that lack of clarity and that ambiguity prevents a lack of trust. And where there's a lack of trust, there will be a breakdown in relationship. I am so grateful God is clear with us. He's never ambiguous, and he always speaks his truth to us in love. May it be that you and I do the same. Have a great, great week.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.